Please be seated. As you're seated, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter. They are almost at the end of the Bible. If you don't have your Bible with you, it's printed in your worship folder. It's on the screen behind me. If you don't own a Bible, we have them on the sideboard in the back there. Pick it up. Take it. Use it to behold the face of your Redeemer. As we continue to go through these 50-cent words, this vocabulary of faith, these large words that get thrown around in the church, but that often we don't stop to talk about, to define, to understand. Last week we talked about adoption. And we saw there that we in Christ are children of God, heirs, co-heirs with Christ. As we talked about that Thursday night at Taking It Deeper, it got us off briefly on other titles that Scripture uses, that God uses to refer to us, to Christians, to believers. He calls them believers. He calls us beloved of God, blessed of the Lord, called, chosen, elect, friends of God, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, lambs, living stones, a peculiar people, pillars in the temple of God, oaks of righteousness. He uses all these and more. These, he says, are ours in Christ Jesus. But there's another name for those who follow him, another name that God uses of his people. And it is simply holy. Holy. United to Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection by the grace of God, God tells us, you are holy. The 50-cent word for that is sanctified. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This is your reality in Jesus Christ. That if you have placed your faith in him, you are holy, you are sanctified. Now, earlier in our series, way back at the very beginning of it, actually, in the summer, we saw that holiness, to be holy, fundamentally meant to be separated, to be set apart. So you are holy. You are set apart for God in Christ Jesus. And it is you. You, his holy ones, the ones set apart for him, that God works in. And it's this lifelong process of sanctification, of making you, the holy, holy, that we look at this morning. As we come to 1 Peter, come to his description of God's work in you, of this process of sanctification. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 13 through verse 21. Hear the word of God. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. this is the Word of God. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we come to your Word that we may be holy, for you are holy. We come to your Word to understand you, to experience you, to know you, and to be changed by that. Oh, Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ for all of this, for you to be at work within us, bringing us to you, that we may behold your face forever. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. 20 years ago, I started a new job. I've renewed my contract twice since then. 3 months ago, the second of those three contracts ran out. Jason turned 18. I no longer have to parent him. That's two down, one left to go. 4 more years, and I'm out of a job. Scotty's 18 at that point, and I'm done. I'm free. Not really. Yeah. Sometimes, as a parent, you wish that. But you don't have to be a parent to understand that's not the way parenting works. It doesn't end. The reality of our lives right now is that Beth and I aren't trying to figure out what do we do now that we've only got one child and left to parent and we're free of 2/3 of our job. But we're trying to figure out what does it mean in this new stage of parenting, adult children, children who aren't living at home, who aren't even here. As one of you asked how they were doing, and I told you, this morning, well, as far as they've shared with us, they're doing okay. The school hasn't called us, so we know it hasn't reached a certain level. But at the same time, the school doesn't have to call us because we're not responsible for them anymore. A thing that Kyle's school makes abundantly clear is he has to sign off before they'll tell us anything or send us anything, including the bill. But he did sign off on that. You don't have to be a parent to get that parenting doesn't end. That, parenting isn't a destination. It's not about, reaching some goal, some point in life, and then you're done with it. It's a journey. It's a lifelong process that once you begin is never over. It's much like the Christian life. This relationship with God that's not static but dynamic. That's not a single point in life, something that that a Christian can look back to and say, yep, there it is. I'm done. Now I can move on. Next thing, please. But rather, it too is an ongoing process, a lifelong process, whereby God works in us, whereby this relationship changes. Theologians call this process, this growth and development in faith, sanctification, the making holy, literally, making holy of his people, the setting apart of them. And it's that we explore, this lifelong process that Peter describes for us here. And as Peter describes it, we see that this lifelong process is a process in which God works, making us holy as he is holy, and in which we participate. It is the work of God making us holy as he is holy, in which we participate. And it all starts with him. It all starts with him. For sanctification is a part of salvation. It's a part of all that God does in us through Jesus Christ. It's intrinsically tied to the rest of it, to regeneration, to justification, to adoption, to all these things that we've been looking at. We see it here. Look in verse 13. He calls us to prepare our minds for action, to be sober-minded, and then tells us, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's what underlies it all. The grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not built on us. Verse 18, those words we heard after our confession. As God cries out to us, here is the foundation that Peter lays for us to understand sanctification. That we are to know that we were ransomed. That word is redeemed. Bought back from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. All of this, our sanctification, is God's continuing work. It's part of all the rest that he's been doing, all that we acknowledge. Justification deals with the guilt of our sin, that we can be declared right. Sanctification deals with the pollution of our sin, the corruption of our nature, which is the result of sin and which produces further sin. Both of these, justification and sanctification, are the result of our union with Christ. Through him, Peter tells us, we are believers. Through him, we are believers. This is vital for us to understand that the Christian's pursuit of holiness is not built on themselves. It's not built on us. It's not a case of doing better, of being a better person, of following the rules more closely. Whether that's through religious duties or whether that's through worldly efforts to make ourselves better. There's nothing in this self-help section that can do this. The Christian understands that being a better person, that growing in life, that sanctification is not our task. It's not our work, but God's working in us. Remember those words that from Paul to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 6? They're there in the front of your worship folder. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. It's all passive. It's not our action. He doesn't say, you washed, you sanctified, you justified. No, he says, you were washed. You were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Ephesians 2, that glorious passage we go to remind us of God's love for us, of all that Jesus Christ did, that when we were dead in our sins, God made us alive together with Christ. There, we're told, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We're not our workmanship. We're his workmanship, for good works which he prepared beforehand. Philippians 2, called to have the mind of Christ in ourselves. We're told, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Scripture is clear. God is clear. Sanctification is not our work, but God's. And so the first thing that we have to do in sanctification is to set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Setting our hope is not a flight into fancy. It's not a flight into dreams of the future, the use of some eschatological, end time, some future speculation as some sort of irrelevant opiate to dull the pain of life and the struggles that we're going through. But rather, it's a careful evaluation of our present behavior in the light of the future goals, in light of an unseen reality, the grace of God in Jesus Christ to us, that we will know fully. To set our hope is to anchor our faith, our lives in His grace. It's to live not with a wish, but with certainty, the certainty of His work done for us, done to us and in us, that our guilt has been dealt with, that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, as Peter cries out to us, that in Him alone, we find all that we need. We find the strength, the certainty, the desire even to be what we are meant to be. And what is this work then that God does in us? It's making us holy as He is holy. The church is not a club that posts the rules right there in the entrance as you come in. Like going to a public pool. You guys all know usually there on the gates before you enter, there are the pool rules. No diving, no running, no food. You take a shower beforehand, whatever they are. No horseplay. That's not the way the church works. The Christian is not called to keep a certain set of rules, a list of behaviors. The pattern for our sanctification, for our holiness, is nothing less than God Himself. Look at it, verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." We are His. And He calls us to live so as to reflect Him, to be His image here in this world. That's why He calls us to be His own. Those glorious words of Romans chapter 8, telling us that we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. He tells us there, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." This is the point of it. This is our pattern. This holiness is what He's working in us. Conformity to His Son, to Jesus Christ, living as His image instead of our own. There are two sides to this making us holy. Our standards as Presbyterians, the Westminster standards, describe them in old Puritan language as dying to sin and living unto righteousness. Dying to sin and living unto righteousness. Dying to sin means not being conformed to the patterns of this world. That's what He calls us to in verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. It's not living like those who have no faith in Christ, who do not know His grace, living by the patterns and the rules of this world. When we live by those patterns, when we're conformed and molded to them, we are not holy. We are not set apart. We're mixed in. And so we are to die to sin. to not be conformed to those patterns, the patterns of this world. Instead, we're called to live unto righteousness, to be conformed to Him, to God. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For as it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. His holiness, He Himself, is our pattern. Our pattern, not the world, not the world's holiness, but Him. So sanctification is about our behavior. It is about how we live. That He works in us. That we do not think like other people. That we do not behave like other people. The reality of sanctification is that Christians are nonconformists. But this isn't the nonconformity, the rebellious nonconformity of a teenager. It isn't the trendy nonconformity of the young adult, the college kid, those in their 20s. This isn't the aggressive nonconformity of the activist. It's not even the religious nonconformity of the Amish and their rejection of the world as seen in cars and electricity and even zippers or buttons with some of the communities. But it's the nonconformity of one who lives to a different pattern. Not the pattern of the world, living for ourselves, seeking our glory, our joy, our comfort, what we think is best. But the pattern of God, living for Him, seeking His glory, submitting ourselves to what He has declared to be right and good, not just in religious things, what we do on Sunday morning or how we structure our worship or what we believe as far as doctrine, but in everything, every aspect of life lived for Him, in Him. Louis Burkhoff, who taught at Calvin College for many, many years, put it this way. He said, "A man may boast of great moral improvement and yet be an utter stranger to sanctification. The Bible does not urge moral improvement pure and simple, but moral improvement in relation to God, for God's sake, and with a view to the service of God." This is the Christian's nonconformity. Thus, this work of God in making us holy as He is holy is one in which we participate. We are both passive and active in our sanctification. Passive in that it is God's work. It is He who works in us. We are His workmanship, all that we heard. But it's His grace active within us by His Holy Spirit at work within us. But we are active and that He calls us to participate, to respond, and be His tool in His work. Verse 13, it opens this way. Peter opens calling to us, preparing your minds for action. This is where the King James Version is so glorious in its old language. Peter calls us to gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind and set your hope. It's our activity. He calls us to participate in what God is doing here. Verse 14, he continues, as obedient children. Oh, there's our obedience. We are to be holy in all our conduct. Our conduct. Again, our activity in this, our obedience, our submission to Him, our action in this world. Verse 17, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Conduct yourself. Behave in this way in the time that we live on this earth. We're to conduct ourselves with fear. A fear born in reverence, in a spirit of adoption. It's a familial fear for a loved and respected father. It's what we heard last week, again, Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. This is fear not of failure, not of being cast aside, but of misrepresenting, of not clearly and accurately reflecting who He is, not showing how deeply we love Him. Sanctification is not activism. It is not a self-reliant activity. Nor is sanctification apathy, a God-reliant passivity. Rather, sanctification is human effort dependent on God. Participation in His grace. It's the unremitting, strenuous exercise of our faith in Jesus Christ. So the Christian is duty-bound then to strive for ever-increasing sanctification by using the means which God has given us, has placed at our disposal, that He may work in us. Those means are what the confession calls means of grace. The Word, sacraments, prayer. Things like these. You know, prayer is a means of grace. It's coming to God, living out our faith in Him, and crying out for Him to be at work within us, acknowledging that we can't do it all ourselves, that our strength isn't sufficient, and trusting in Him, in His work. The Word. It's hearing as He speaks to us in His Word, as He tells us what life in Him looks like, seeing the pattern that He has set before us in Jesus Christ. It's as Jesus prays for us in John 17, He cries out to God on our behalf, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth." Or as Paul tells us, there in his letter to Timothy, that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It's the sacraments, it's our worship, it's as we come and give glory to God, proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ, resting in it for our relationship, our covenant relationship with Him, not in us and how good we are, how holy we are, but in His death, ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers by the precious blood of Christ. And God, in His grace, gives us each other. Each other to work together to grow in our sanctification, to be tools making us holy. Writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul tells us we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is why we come together, because God uses us. He's using the person next to you, the person behind you and in front of you, to make you holy, to set you apart for Him. We encourage each other. We correct each other. We weep with each other. We rejoice with each other. We live life together, and we grow in holiness together. We are God's means of grace to each other. He works in us through each other as we bring each other to Him, to His Word, to Him in prayer. In the words we speak, in the way we live. Thursday morning, we got to celebrate the birth of Will with Kenny and Sarah. Last week, we got to celebrate the birth of James to Ben and Shannon. I'm sure that they've already heard are already hearing all of the comments that go on through life for a parent. He looks just like you. He's got Ben's eyes. All of these things. But that resemblance will grow. I mean, I have to confess that in some ways, every baby looks alike, don't they? For all they look different, every baby looks alike. But as they grow, that resemblance in them grows, that familial resemblance goes. You know, by the time I was in college, I got used to hearing back at our home church the complaints of everybody that when they were behind, they couldn't tell if it was me or my older brother or my father who was standing there. This is the process of sanctification. As our family resemblance to our elder brother, to Jesus Christ, and to our Father grows throughout life. This lifelong process where God works to make us holy as He is holy, in which we participate. Or in short, God's free grace making us, you and me, the holy, holy. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we hear of this lifelong process, this thing that theologians call sanctification. And we struggle with it. We hear your call that we are to be holy, to be set apart for you. We get that that touches every aspect of life. And we know we struggle. We know our lack of holiness. We know how often we fail in our attempts, how often we fail to even desire it. And yet, we know it's not our work, fundamentally, but yours. That you are at work within us by your grace revealed in Jesus Christ. And Father, that is what we rest in. We rest in you. That as we continue to struggle, to throw ourselves into this process, that we would rest in you, knowing that we participate in what is your work within us. And we cry out that you would make us holy. Make us holy as you are holy. And we long for that day when all is complete, when Christ returns, and we no longer are going through this process, but we see its culmination, its consummation. Until that day, Father, strengthen us. Work in us that we would be your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which you have prepared for us beforehand. Take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to you. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.